and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation, brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the title says it all. It is a podcast which I shall talk about animation, specifically the latest news that happened this week. So for today's episode, we shall begin with the brand new trailer of Moana, and I shall lay down my thoughts into it. Then we will look at Comcast and their strange revival by bringing Shrek back to life. And then afterwards, we will be looking into the Animation Personality of the Year that occurred at the Annecy International Animation Film Festival. Then we will be looking into the full cast of the upcoming Sailor Moon musical in Japan. And finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Now, for our first story, I have said this for a while now, and I have repeated this again and again, that out of all the animated films that would be released this year, the one that I was excited the most about, the one that I am so anticipating to be great, it is the one and only Moana. This is going to be Disney's next animated feature after Zootopia, and the next animated feature that will be based around a fairy tale. Now, the reason why I am so excited for this is mostly because this is coming from two of my favorite directors, John Musker and Ron Clements, the directors of movies such as The Great Mouse Detective, The Little Mermaid, Hercules, Treasure Planet, The Princess and the Frog, and many more. These guys are like totally legit, and probably some of my favorite Disney directors even. Plus the fact that, like, with how Disney is going right now, that their fairy tale movies such as Frozen and Tangled, they're going so beautifully, so amazingly. Having the Polynesian twist could be very interesting, and I know this is going to be something that I will welcome with open arms as a new member of the Disney family. Like, giving us the new Polynesian twist that maybe we didn't have enough of with something like Finding Nemo, I apologize. I mean, something like Lilo and Stitch, or something from the attractions like the Enchanted Tiki Room. Now we are going to get something pretty big, something adventurous, something awesome with Moana. And now, for the first time on Sunday, we finally received a trailer, our first full look into Moana. Now, technically, this is just a teaser trailer, but let me just give you a rundown of what's pretty much been going on. It starts out with Maui. Like, we're learning a bit with Maui, and what we are seeing is actually these 2D animated bits, a little bit similar to Hercules, telling about the legend of Maui, which is actually told by Maui himself. And then suddenly, he would perform this dance. By the way, this is from a YouTuber, Trixie Bell. She taught me this. This is apparently a haku, which is kind of like, I forgot the area, like some a South Polynesian area where he would perform this dance that also include exaggerated faces. Beautifully animated, but also kind of weird at the same time. Like, many people kind of reacted very similarly to the pig and Moana in that scene. And then afterwards, we are getting, like, a lot of the clips, just small snippets of what's going to be to come, including Moana being a badass, tons of great adventures ahead of us, and apparently Maui is able to turn into a bird. And also, it gave us the promise that the music will be brought to us, that one of the people doing the music is actually by Lin-Manuel Miranda, the same genius that brought us Hamilton. He's also doing the music for this. So now, if I may put up my thoughts into it, when I first saw this trailer, I'm going to admit that the first half with Maui, I thought it was a bit unsettling. Like I said, like, I build up so much anticipation for myself for this movie, but then, like, when we start seeing this, like, I didn't know about the haku, like, the traditional dance thing. It's just that, like, I admit that it was beautifully animated, but, like, it was kind of a weird introduction. Like, this is our first ever look into Moana, and, like, we started off with this weird dance. I mean, people who don't know, like, what he's doing, like, we're just expecting him to be, like, people would just pass this off as Maui just being goofy. Like, he's going to be the comic relief of this whole adventure, pretty much in a similar way to how Louis is to the Princess and the Frog, or kind of like Scuttle in The Little Mermaid, or, you know, somewhere around those lines, that Maui would just be like the comic relief, that he's so like self-absorbed about himself and how, you know, he could have a bit of an ego problem. You know, like, it is a bit of an awkward start, and I felt, honestly, when I first saw it, I felt exactly like how Moana did with the pig. It's just like, you know, I was just sitting there like, I don't know. But I will admit that after, like, repeated viewings, just seeing it a few times, I will admit that I do have a massive admiration for the animation. Now, as goofy as Maui was in that little clip, you gotta admit, like, the animation was really, really good in there, and it's actually really cool that they did this throwback into 2D animation with the tattoos, and hopefully that's going to be something that will be prominent, that we'll see a few times in the, you know, something that we're going to see in the movie altogether. Like, you know, they could do something that's pretty similar, like the Kung Fu Panda films, where, like, they would take a moment to stop, and we would have these 2D scenes. So that would actually be really, really cool if they could do something like that, but with Maui's tattoos. You know, and plus the fact, like, it'll give us a bit of a taste of classic 2D animation brought to us by Disney. I mean, like, who wouldn't want to see Disney go back into 2D animation? Like, we did get a little bit of a taste before with Get a Horse, but that's, like, with a classic early 30s, late 20s animation with the, you know, with the classic Mickey Mouse rubber hose style. But, you know, that is still close to it. But then you do get the second half. And that, for me, is, like, that's just a little taste of the reason why I was so excited for this movie in the first place. It looks like it has a lot of promise. From the small clips that we see, like, we can tell that Moana is not just going to be, like, the Polynesian Disney princess. No, she is going to do stuff. Like, she is going to, like, she's pretty much going to be going out there and going to be having her adventures on her own. Like, she'll, you know, she'll go out there and, like, you know, be kind of like the smart one of the group, be independent, you know, show what she has, like, show what it takes. It's going to be great. And, you know, you could also see a bit of a majestic, marvelous side to it. Like, when you see the family on that boat, you know, just, like, crossing from sea to sea. That one was actually really cool. And but then there is also another scene where, like, there's a little bit of a Noah's Ark happening when I believe there's one character, I think it's Moana or something like that, she would cross the ocean while the water goes on the side, and then, like, it's something that's also very reminiscent to something like the Prince of Egypt. Like, you see a kid looking at the wall of ocean, and, like, there's this big turtle that comes across it. That was really, really cool. And finally, it just caps it all off with Maui. Like, you can legit, now you can actually tell that, like, he is a legit demigod, since he does turn himself into a bird, which, that is going to be pretty cool. And it's just going to be an example of what Maui can do with his magical powers. Like, so far, what we know in terms of his abilities is just going to be with his giant hook, and also with the fact that he can shapeshift at least into birds, maybe with other animals as well, but we could tell that he could do it with birds. But also, I will have to add, however, the amount of detail that's put in, it's just marvelous. I don't know if you, like, It is especially very obvious with the tattoos of Maui, but the small detail that they've put into this film, it looks beautiful. And honestly, I'm just thinking back of the concept art that they've revealed in D23 last year. And I honestly cannot wait to see those things come to life in 3D in computer animation. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. So I would say, with the overall experience that I've had with the Moana trailer, I would say that, you know what, I'm pretty excited for it. Like, I you know, if I'm going to be really sold into it, I would like to see a full trailer to explain a bit more of what the story will be. But, you know, from, like, at least with the second half, I'm pretty sold. Like, maybe, like, if it's going to be as good as Zootopia, I'm not going to set the bar that high. And, you know, like, thinking about it now regarding Zootopia, that's, you know, honestly, it's going to be a bit sad, honestly. Like, there could be a really big chance that Moana won't be as appreciated as much, all because of Zootopia. Because, let's face it, that movie really raised the bar and set a brand new standard for Disney animation. And with Moana coming out, like, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who will be making unfair comparisons to Zootopia. And, you know, like, they'll always say that this is going to be the inferior film. Like, what I really fear the most with Moana is that it might fall prey into what happened to something like Brave. Which, you know, it's a pretty good film. But, like, yeah, it's not as good as the other Pixar films, but it's still really good on its own. But because it's not as good as the other Pixar films, like, it kind of disappeared, like, it kind of got drafted by the public, basically. And which is really unfortunate because, like, you know, Brave is not a bad film. It's still really good for what it is. And that's what I at least pray that it doesn't happen to Moana, because, you know, it looks like it's going to have a lot of promise. Again, like, we didn't even get a full taste of the music since we got Lin-Manuel Johnson into it. No, Lin-Manuel Miranda. I apologize for that. Okay, good thing I caught myself there. But yeah, like, we got his we got his music along with others involved. And I do hope that, like, I'm not going to go in and expect that this is going to be as amazing as Zootopia, like another 10 out of 10 movie. But at least, like, what I ask for is that I want to go in and see a really good Disney movie. You know, that's all I ask. I'm not going to put it in any standards. I'm not going to expect, like, really big things. I'm just expecting to go in and see a really, really good Disney film. That's all I ask. Like, even if it's going to be on par with something like Frozen or Tangled, if it could go up to at least those standards, like, I'll be fine. Like, even if it goes up to the standards of something like The Princess and the Frog, like, I'll be happy. Like, I'll be happy no matter what. I just want to see a really good Disney film, and Moana could be it. So I'm still keeping my hopes up on that. And also, there is one more thing I would like to mention about Moana. And, this trailer specifically of Moana is actually regarding the release date. Now, if you guys don't recall, this was actually released on Sunday, June 12th, which unfortunately was a really disastrous day. It was like when the world woke up and it was just pure grief and misery because of the unfortunate Orlando disaster with the world's largest mass shooting. And, you know, like, I've seen on social media everywhere that, you know, it was just a really dark and really sad day. And really, like, it was a big moment that the LGBT community was really in grief and that the whole world were by their side to stand together and, you know, try to do something about gun control and mass violence. But unfortunately, like, considering that we are also in the 2016 elections, this is a pretty dark time. Like, it could not have arrived at a worse situation, because now you know for a fact that in the 2016 elections, one of the biggest hot buttons will be about gun control and gun violence. And, like, you know, unfortunately, in terms of the United States, we know the sad truth is that guns have actually more, they have more privileges and more laws than people, well, not more laws. I mean, they have more privilege and they have more priority than people themselves. And, you know, it's kind of the sad truth. And also, what I'm trying to get to here, I'm so sorry that I got a bit political here. I know it doesn't really seem like the most appropriate place to do that in a podcast that talks about animation, but the one thing that I want to get is that with the Moana trailer that we received, it's kind of like a silver lining to that day. You know, like when the world was in grief, when the world was in mourning for those 50 people that unfortunately passed away, we got a bit of a silver lining with this Moana trailer because at least it gave us something to, you know, to anticipate for in the future. You know, it gives us something to look forward to. That's pretty much what I'm going for, you know. It's basically, you know, even though we're going to have grief now, at least we'll have something like Moana, even though it's just an animated film. It'll be something that'll bring us joy. And I've even seen online that even though this dark time is happening, we got this, like, the trailer of Moana, at least it brought up a smile. And that's one of the most important things that, like, any movie would do. Is what I'm trying to say is that the movie, yeah, basically the movie could not have come, well, the trailer could not have come at such a better time. You know, like, it gives us hope, and it gives us something to look forward to in the future. Like, you can also say the same thing with like, it was also during the night of the Tony Awards, which was another thing that, you know, it was a bit of a distraction from the grief and the mourning of the disaster, while at the same time, like, we saw how free, like, it was obvious, but we all wanted to see how Hamilton pretty much dominated the Tonys. Like, we knew for a fact it was, like, it took everything. And I think, like, the host said it best during that time that it's not just, like, the Tonys was not just about Hamilton. It's Hamilton, and then there's also, like, commercials here and there. That's the best way to put it. But yeah, yeah, like, I would have, like, even though it was completely unintentional, but Disney could not have released it at a better time. They did delay it until the night, in order, just in case that it would be released at a wrong time or stuff like that. But at least it gave joy, and that's one thing that I really do applaud about this Moana trailer is that it gave people joy during the time that they seriously needed. So with that said, in terms of the movie itself, it will be released this Thanksgiving, so let us wait and see if Disney can make lightning strike twice with Moana. Okay, so for our next story, I'm gonna be very honest with you guys. I just don't know how to feel about this. I don't know if this should be a good thing that we should celebrate, like, oh, hell yeah, he's back. Or I don't know if we should look at this and just be embarrassed and that maybe the Comcast deal is not such a good idea after all. Now, as you guys may know, Comcast is going to buy DreamWorks Animation for $3.8 billion, making Universal one of the top leading animation companies with Illumination Entertainment and DreamWorks Animation under their wing. So they're pretty much in direct competition with Disney now. And apparently they have revealed one of the strategies that they really want to do. Now, most of the ideas that the chief of NBC Universal, Steve Bork, mentioned is mostly related to business and marketing strategies in order to bring back DreamWorks Animation to the top of the animation chain. But one idea he has is a rather strange one, and it brought a lot of talks among people. Apparently, one of the ideas that Steve Bork wants to do is to bring back Shrek to life. And what I mean by that is that they want to make more Shrek movies. In fact, using my source here from Deadline. Apparently, it even stated here, Illumination Entertainment Chris Meledandri will have creative control, and he is creatively going to try to help us figure out how to resurrect Shrek and take a lot of the existing DreamWorks franchises and add value as we create new franchise. Now, the purpose of why they want to bring back Shrek, well, is actually pretty simple. It is also stated here, the goal is to create characters that will lead them to theme park attractions and license merchandising to take the low single-digit return of the movie business and turn it into a different kind of business. Now, that's pretty much the whole gist of, like, what's pretty much going on with Shrek, but the big picture is that Shrek is pretty much going to be coming back. After Shrek Forever After, where they pretty much set in stone that Shrek is pretty much dead, they decided, you know what, let's just bring him back for more movies and see if we could squeeze in more money into it. Now, let me be honest, I actually talked with a good friend of mine regarding this, and we kind of shared our thoughts about what's pretty much going on, and I'm going to be very, very honest about this. I can't really be mad about Comcast because, at the very least, they're straightforward. They are very straightforward with the purpose of why they want to bring Shrek back to life. And they pretty much went out and, like, they just went straight up and said, well, we just want to get a lot of money. And since we bought DreamWorks Animation, let's see if we could squeeze in more money from that green ogre, you know? Like, we need to see if we can make more money, you know, with some merchandising and theme parks, or just mostly doing it for the money. Any creative crap, let's see if Chris Meledandri could think up of an idea. You know, at the very least, like, when you think about low-level companies like when you think about companies like Fox or Sony, when they mention they want to bring back movie, like when they want to make more sequels to move to pretty much bad movies that nobody really asked for, like when they want to bring in more Ice Age or more Hotel Transylvanias, like they would mention like, oh, well, we just have so many great ideas, and we have so many stories that we want to bring these characters to get into. We just have all these ideas and stories that we want to bring out to the big screen. Like, they had to bullcrap their way to it. At the very least, with Comcast and Universal, they're just straightforward. At least they're honest with us, and, like, you know, they're not beating around the bush. They're just doing it for the money. Now, with all that said, I will say, however, regarding my thoughts on the idea of bringing Shrek back to life, I don't know. I'm just, honestly, I just can't see it. I don't really know. Like, maybe it could be a good idea. Like, maybe, like, there could be ideas to bring Shrek, you know, to have Shrek come back and bring him back to his glory days of Shrek and Shrek 2. But thinking about it now, I honestly don't know. Do we, here's the thing, and let's be very honest. Do we really need another Shrek movie? That's my biggest concern. Do we really need another Shrek movie? It's just that, like, okay, yeah, they were pretty much one of the biggest icons in animation back in the early 2000s with Shrek and Shrek 2, but then after Shrek the Third was released, it was just an all-out disaster. That literally ruined the entire franchise of Shrek. And DreamWorks knew that, like, DreamWorks knew that Shrek is dead, so they pretty much set it in stone that Shrek Forever After is pretty much done. Now, they tried a little bit to, like, you know, keep the spirit of Shrek alive by making that Puss in Boots movie, and now they have a Netflix series, and they're thinking about doing a sequel to Puss in Boots, but I honestly don't know. Like, I like the Puss in Boots movie, that was actually pretty good, but I don't know, bringing back Shrek, it's just like, it, you know, honestly, it's a product of its time, and honestly, like, even thinking about the other successful franchises that they have, like, even bringing back Madagascar is a bit, you know, bringing back Madagascar and making more Madagascar movies feel like a much better idea than bringing back Shrek. And especially, you know, the number one reason why, like, it's not really that good of an idea to bring back Shrek is mostly what the internet has been doing to Shrek. It, like, let's face it, Shrek no longer belongs to DreamWorks Animation. It belongs to the internet. With all the messed up things that they've been doing with Shrek, rather it be like shipping him with whatever characters they want with like I've seen way too many shippings of Shrek and Shadow the Hedgehog that, you know, it's too much to the point that like it is way past uncomfortable. And honestly, like with the whole Shrek is love, Shrek is life meme, do we really want to bring back Shrek? Like, he's basically become a joke. You know, a punchline is coming every time we would hear Smash Mouth. Like, suddenly you hear in the background, like, somebody once told me the world is kind of roomy. I don't know. It's just like, it makes no sense. Can't we just appreciate, like, the first two Shreks? Like, I know for a fact Shrek 2 is, like, really beloved, and even though the first Shrek is not as beloved or praised as it was back then, at the very least, you know, like, can't we just appreciate what we have now, and, like, can't you just put your focus on other franchises of what you have coming up? I mean, like, I know that you have new franchises, like, you got new opportunities with Trolls and the Boss Baby, while at the same time, you also got, you also got other franchises to work on. You got stuff like, you're bringing the Croods, you also got How to Train Your Dragon with the highly, highly anticipated How to Train Your Dragon 3. Like, can't you just focus on doing new things and just move on? Why do we need more Shrek? Like, honestly, it just makes no sense. And, like, that's why I can't really be mad at Comcast, because they pretty much said it best. They, you know, it's for the money. It's solely for the money why they want to bring back Shrek. There's no other explanation. I mean, like, I guess, I mean, if you want to just do it for the money, but still, like, even for the merchandising and for the theme park things and stuff like that, I mean, like, it's that, even at that, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I know for a fact that theme park fans are waiting for the day that they get rid of Shrek 4D, considering that it has way past its prime. It, like, everybody agrees that, like, as a 3D movie, it's just kind of eh. And plus the fact, you can get it anywhere. You can get it on freaking Netflix, for God's sakes. Like, that, like, you could get, like, it's not like it's going to disappear forever. Like, you can even check it out on freaking YouTube. Like, I just don't see the point, really. Like, do we really need another Shrek? I don't know. Like, let me know your thoughts on it, but for me, I don't know. There's no point. There really is no point. Okay, now for our next story, this week, it was one of the biggest weeks in animation of the year, which is the Annecy International Animation Film Festival. And if I'm going to do this, I have to at least mention it once. It was pretty much one of the biggest nights. Many animated features and animated shorts made their big premiere there, and plus the fact that we also got huge announcements from plenty of different, plenty of different big animation studios, plus the fact that we got a lot of anticipated stuff. Jenny Tartakovsky even brought out a brand new poster, or like just a teaser image of the upcoming Samurai Jack reboot, which is highly anticipated, by the way. Even myself, like, I cannot wait to see, like, you know, Jenny Tartakovsky returning to what he can do best with television animation. Like, that I'm excited for. But there are also some other announcements done at the same time, which honestly I am not as excited about. Like, I have seen the new, like, I don't know if they premiered it there, but I have seen the new trailer of Storks, and I honestly don't know how to really feel about it. I don't know, it just feels like it's going to be another cartoon movie. Like, maybe it'll be decent like the Angry Birds movie, or maybe it's just gonna suck like Hotel Transylvania. I don't know, it just feels like it's going to be another one of those cartoon movies that we're just easily going to forget a few months later. And then we also got more information about DreamWorks The Boss Baby, which, I'll be honest, does not look appealing. It just doesn't sound like it's gonna be a good idea. And I'm just reading through the ideas. It's just like, oh god, this is gonna be another flop, isn't it? I don't know. Like, I feel like with the way that they're trying to build up Boss Baby and what they want to do with it. I wouldn't be surprised if this is going to be another DreamWorks flop that you can add into the list with, like, Rise of the Guardians, Turbo, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and Penguins of Madagascar. I don't know. I don't really have much hope for it at this point. Unless there's a trailer that can prove me wrong, I'm pretty doubtful with it. But, the biggest thing that pretty much occurred, and the story that I would like to bring to you today, is apparently, the MIFA and Variety's 2016 Animation Personality of the Year Award. Now, this is a brand new award that they have begun last year, with the first person earning it being Chris Meledandri, the founder of Illumination Entertainment. And now we got our second, the second people who are going to get it. Two guys who definitely do deserve it. Peter Lord and David Sproxton. If you guys don't know who they are the co-founders of Aardman Animation. The same people that brought you so many great, some of the greatest works in stop motion animation, in fact. They have brought you the Wallace and Gromit series, including Wallace and Gromit Curse of the Were-Rabbit, an amazingly good film. Even though it is highly praised, like, nowadays, like, part of me does feel like it could be a bit underrated. It's not as well appreciated as many of the other mainstream animated features. What else have they done? Oh, of course, they've also brought us Chicken Run. Other movies that they brought, they made the Pirates Band of Misfits, or the Pirates and the Adventures with Scientists, if you're in the UK. They have also done Flushed Away, and they have done Arthur Christmas. But now it seems that Peter Lord and David Sproxton, of course, they are getting MIFA and Variety's Second Animation Personality of the Year Award. And, I'm going to be very honest with you guys, like, they definitely do deserve it. Like, they definitely deserve all of the awards, and I would definitely put in the Peter Lord and David Sproxton in the category of some massive animation legends. Of course, like, when you think of Aardman Animation, there are some people who would think Nick Park is, one of the biggest icons in terms of the people at Aardman. And of course, like, I love Nick Park. He's probably one of my favorite directors. Probably my favorite stop motion director. Like, I love the guy to bits. But it's definitely Peter Lord and David Sproxton who have done a phenomenal job. I remember when I've done animation look back and doing the history on Aardman Animation, and I got nothing but admiration. Like, they definitely brought stop motion into brand new levels. Now, when you think of stop motion nowadays, like, whether it be with Tim Burton or Laika, they always like to go into the dark territory, you know, stuff like The Nightmare Before Christmas or Corpse Bride or Coraline or Paranorman, you know, like, they want to go into the dark, the family horror genre, you know, bringing up some scares as much as laughs and some beautiful stop motion. But at least, like, we can take a break from that and, like, we can go into the world of Aardman, you know, when we go into the world of Aardman, where, like, it doesn't feel as dark as it is. Now, of course, like, when you watch some Wallace and Gromit, watch some works of Wallace and Gromit, of course, there are some pretty dark, like, not dark elements, but there are some moments of suspense and thriller, especially with Curse of the Were-Rabbit, where, apparently, instead of a werewolf, you just got this were-rabbit that just eats up all the vegetables during the big vegetable festival, the whole movie itself is such a beautiful parody of the classic horror genre. It's fantastic. It's a wonderfully made film. I love Curse of the Were-Rabbit, if you cannot tell. If I may take a few quotes here, going into my source here, of course, coming from Variety, since they are one of the people giving the award, I want to see. Ah, yes. Okay. Well, apparently, there was a quote here saying, I wonder who's saying it. Wait, is it? Okay, yeah. I believe, I'll just read it at this point. Michael Marin, head of Annecy's MIFA's market, and Peter DeBourge, Variety's chief film critic, presented the award, with DeBourge delivering what he termed a personal reflection. It will, however, resonate with many film lovers. We all grew up loving animated movies, Disney movies. However, We all grew up with loving animated movies, Disney movies, whatever. But Aardman, which I discovered at junior high, bridged the gap and gave me permission to love animation all my life. Since then, DeBourge added, this tiny group of creative, nutty guys have conquered the world, and we've seen this not just in feature films, but TV and advertising. And honestly, like, when you do think of Aardman films... Like, you know, it's definitely one of those movies that you could tell that it's not... It's the kind of film that's not just for kids, you know? Like, you could definitely tell that they're doing it for everyone. It's for everyone to enjoy. Everybody loves Wallace and Gromit. Everybody, you know, everybody loves the Shaun the Sheep series. Everybody loves the Creature Comforts. And you know, everybody loves Chicken Run. And that's the thing. They've really done such a phenomenal work with what they have built, and I couldn't be more happier with Peter Lord and David Sproxton earning that award. So I just want to say, congratulations, Peter and David. You absolutely do deserve it. Now, for our next story that we have here, now we are going to take a break from festivals and animation and stuff like that, and we are going to be jumping into stage musicals, specifically one in Japan that is based on Sailor Moon. Going into my source here at Anime News Network, the official website of the 4th 20th anniversary stage musical of Naoko Takatsuchi's Sailor Moon manga announced the title and its full cast. Announced the title and the full cast and the what the fridge? Okay, that I don't know. Okay, maybe it's just this article on Anime News Network. Like there's something wrong with the writing. It says okay, they announced the title and the full cast and the title on Tuesday. I don't know that. Okay, someone need a revision on that. They have also announced that Yume Takeuchi will replace the previously announced cast member Hikari Kumoshi as Sailor Mercury. And what I am referring to, of course, is going to be the stage musical of Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon Amour Eternal. So, they have already previously announced some of the cast, which some of these would include, Kaede as Makoto, aka Sailor Jupiter. We also got Hikari Kuroki as Ami, aka Sailor Mercury. We also got Hotaru Nomoto as Usagi, aka Sailor Moon herself. Karen Kobayashi as Rei, aka Sailor Mars. Rimo Hasegawa as Minako, aka Sailor Venus. And also we got Yuga Yamato as the one and only Tuxedo Mask. But now they have revealed a lot more cast members who is going to play other members of the Sailor Planets along with other characters as well, like a lot of them are just eyes for some reason, but allow me to get into these as well. So let me just start off with Shu Shiotsuki as Haruka, aka Sailor Uranus. You also got Sayaka Fujioka as Michiru, aka Sailor Neptune. You also got Karen as Karen Takahashi as Hotaru as Sailor Saturn. You also got Mikao Ishii as Setsuna, aka Sailor Pluto. And you also got Ariki Kandana as Chibiusa, aka Sailor Chibi Moon. We also got Hikaru Hiyamata as Helios. Ayu Otsuki as Nahelenya? Okay, I'll go with Nehelenia. Kanami Sakai as Zirconia. Then we got Chihiro Ando as Tiger's Eye. Then Riona Temichi as Hawk's Eye. You also got Yumi as Fish Eye. And you also got Yoshiaki Kobayashi, Risa Kawamura, Yoshimi Hidano, Chiemi Doi, Ayano Nasagawa, and Ayumi Sagisaka as the Dead Moon Circus members. Oh boy! Now, for those of you who are curious like me about what the plot is about, well, that's a very good question. I don't know if they have said it here. Okay, no, they, I don't think, fudge nabbit. No, I don't think they said it. Ah, fudge nabbit, come on. Okay, maybe this article didn't mention what the plot is about, but basically we got our cast here doing a live action musical of Sailor Moon. And interestingly enough, this is something that I've recently discovered, that in Japan, it's actually quite common that they would take their anime, like well-known animes, and they would turn it into musicals. Recently, as I'm recording this, I just released my review of Death Note. And while I was doing research for that, I discovered that apparently they have made a musical. And it does make me wonder, like, we are starting to see this big fad of, like, animation coming into Broadway. Like, we got the SpongeBob musical coming up. I believe there's an Anastasia one that's coming. We had, like, of course, Disney has played a big factor, including stuff like The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Tarzan, and much, much more. And also, like, temporarily, they had The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And technically you can count in Mary Poppins as well, but then also there's going to be a Broadway show of Frozen coming soon. So it would actually be pretty interesting if they would bring in these, you know, these anime-based stage musicals, and maybe bring them in into the U.S., like, bring them to, legit to Broadway. That would be an interesting take. I don't know how theater people would be happy to bring in, like, Sailor Moon or Death Note into Broadway, but, you know, it could be a pretty good idea, and, you know, like, just to see a different interpretation of it, but, you know, I believe it would be worth trying just to see how it goes. So, I don't know, like, which one they would really start. It has to be, like, a very well-known one, like, but, like, not only very well known, but one that would make sense. Like, maybe something based on a Studio Ghibli film. Like, I know that they've already done something like, not necessarily on Broadway, but there was a stage version of Princess Mononoke done. So maybe you can do that and bring that into Broadway. And then maybe we'll see if they can also be accepting to something like Sailor Moon or Death Note. That would actually be really cool. I don't know, like, it does sound like it can have potential in the U.S., but I'm not going to say anything about Japan, because, of course, Japan is going to eat this up. I'm sure Japan is really going to love it, plus the fact that it is going to be celebrating the 20th anniversary of Sailor Moon. Is it only 20 years old? Well, go figure. Oh my god, it might actually be. Oh, fudge nab. But anyways, if you guys are in Japan and if you're excited to see the release of this, then you'll have to wait until it will be released on, apparently on October 15th to the 23rd on its initial run at the AIIA 2.5 Theater Tokyo venue, before moving to Canal City Theater in Fukuoka on October 29th to 30th, and then the Saseki Hall Breeze in Osaka from November 4th to November 6th. There you go. I gave you the entire schedule for this. You're welcome. And now, finally, we shall end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. Now, I have mentioned before that one of the biggest events that occurred this week was actually the Annecy International Animation Film Festival. But there is one other convention, one other expo, one other event, actually, that was far bigger, and the world was pretty much they were pretty much gluing their eyes to it to see what's going to be coming up. And of course, I am referring to E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, the world's largest and most anticipated video game event where three of the biggest giants in video games currently right now, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, they would all come out and unleash their big guns, showing off what new and upcoming projects they have so far. And so, what I am going to do for Matt's Pick of the Week in here, for you animation fans out there, I'm just going to give you out a little bit of a guide of what you should keep your eyes out for this, that just came out from this year's E3. What are the big video games that you guys should keep an eye out for? Because chances are, if you are an animation fan, then you might also play some video games as well. So these are going to be the ones that will be equivalently visually appealing as much as you would have in the animation world. So let me just start things off with Microsoft, with what they offered. And basically, yeah, they offered jack all. There really isn't much interesting for any animation enthusiasts or anything that just seems visually appealing. You know, you just got your regular crap like, oh, you got Gears of War, you got your Battlefield, you got your Forza. You know, nothing that doesn't seem that creatively appealing. But the biggest thing that Microsoft did announce is going to be regarding the console itself of Xbox One. For starters, they have announced that there's going to be a new version of the console called Xbox One S. And not only that, but you'll be able to have customizable controllers, actually. And what I mean by customizable controllers is that you can go online and you can design your own controller where you can have it have any color you want. You know, you can have the control, like the buttons, to the triggers, to the entire controller itself. You can go online on Xbox and you can pretty much custom made your own controller at the price of $80. And on top of having a skinnier Xbox and also a controller that has any color you want, it also mentioned regarding the PC games. What's pretty much going to be going on from now on, if you're going to buy an Xbox One game, it will also be playable on your PC, so you don't have to buy them separately. Like, if you're going to go out and buy Gears of War 4, you won't just get it on the Xbox One, but you'll be also be capable to play it on your PC. But on top of that, they have also announced Project Scorpio, which is going to be released at the end of next year, which is going to be their next console. This is going to be the next big console that will be the successor to Xbox One. And they have said that this is going to be the most powerful console in the world so far. So they're pretty much hyping it up pretty big. So just keep an eye out on that. But then we are going to be moving on to Sony and what they are offering with PlayStation. And honestly, even myself will agree on this. When it comes to video games, when it comes to E3, Sony just wins. That's all I could say. Sony wins, period. And they have announced so many games out there that are just so visually appealing, so beautiful, and they just look so engaging to play. Some of these will include The Last Guardian, which is from the makers of Shadow of the Colossus, and this has been long anticipated. Like The Last Guardian has appeared on E3 many, many times, but it seems that now it's going to have a release date of October 25th, I believe, of this year. So finally, it will have a chance to finally see the light. Then afterwards, we are going to get another God of War film. Not God of War film, sorry. We're going to get another God of War game, which is going to be a sequel of the entire trilogy. And from what I've read, now don't quote me on this, it could be possible that it's going to go away from Greek mythology, and now they're going to enter into Norse mythology. So that's going to be very interesting. And from what we see, the main character, now he has a son, he has a new lease on life, he no longer wants to be associated with the whole crap that happened with the Greek mythology stuff. So now basically the game is going to be the relationship between the main character, I believe Kronos is his name? I don't know, don't quote me on that. And also his new son. Also, another game that you have that's highly anticipated so far, we got Horizon Zero Dawn. Now, what Horizon Zero Dawn is that this is more of a post-apocalyptic world. It's kind of a survival game in a way where, like, basically you have to survive. But like I said, you're in a post-apocalyptic world, and instead of hunting for animals and stuff like that, you got robots. So the appealing aspect is seeing all these creative and unique giant robots that they got out there that are living as animals. And then afterwards, we got the great big comeback that everybody has been hoping for of Crash Bandicoot. What they're going to do, they're going to make HD remakes of the first three Crash Bandicoot games made by Naughty Dog. Now is going to be underdeveloped by Activision, and Crash Bandicoot will also be appearing as a figurine and a playable character in Skylander with an all new design, pretty much going back into his roots and no longer into the days of that terrible disaster of what happened to him of Crash of the Titans. So now we can pretty much safely say that maybe, just maybe, Crash Bandicoot is making a comeback. And also, the grand finale that Sony had during its conference is that they have announced that they are going to make a Spider-Man game. And this is only going to be for the PlayStation 4. This is going to be brought to us by Insomniac Games, the same people that brought us the Ratchet & Clank games. And what seems like we have no confirmation yet if this has any association with Spider-Man Homecoming, but we'll just have to wait and see. It looks like it does have the same mask and the same, you know, the same eyes that they have in, like what we saw in Captain America Civil War, but there's no confirmation yet if this is going to be the Spider-Man, if this is going to be like Spider-Man Homecoming. We'll just have to wait and see. And then afterwards, this has been announced before, but this is another important mention. This is going to be about Kingdom Hearts 2.8, which they are bringing in some games onto the PS4 and give them an HD fix-up. They've already gotten Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance HD. They got a sequel to Birth by Sleep, and also Kingdom Hearts Key, I believe. That's how you say it, right? Key? But yeah, basically, that's going to be coming out. That's going to be coming out at the end of the year. And they have also made an announcement that Kingdom Hearts 3 will have an announcement this winter. I kid you not. I find that to be such a stupid thing. I mean, seriously. Like, Square Enix is the only company out there that I've ever heard that has to make an announcement that they gotta make an announcement. Seriously. Like, can't you, like, considering how, it's been already 10 years since Kingdom Hearts 2, and people have been waiting for 10 years for Kingdom Hearts 3. It just feels like, I don't know how long they're delaying this, but, like, holy crap. It's getting to the point that it's kind of ridiculous. Like, I feel like when they're going to make that announcement in the winter, like, I feel like Square Enix is just going to come up and they're going to say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Kingdom Hearts 3 will be we are proud to announce that Kingdom Hearts 3 is halfway through production, and we might actually see a release date of maybe 2019 or 2020. Maybe, probably. It might take longer, though. We're not taking any chances. That's at the best, if nothing goes wrong. I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, anyways, moving right along, we also got the PlayStation VR, which is a brand new accessory that Sony has introduced for the PlayStation 4. This is going to be a virtual reality set. It's going to be pretty expensive, though, but it looks really awesome. Plus the fact that they have announced games like, apparently you got a Star Wars game where you're going to be an X-Wing pilot. And also they have announced Batman Arkham VR. Basically, the best way to describe this game is that you're going to be Batman. Yeah, that's all I can say. In the game, you're Batman. Like, holy crap, how awesome is that? But moving right along to other games, you also got the highly anticipated Cuphead, which is the number one game that animation fans are looking forward to. Cuphead, if you guys don't know, it is a platformer that is filled with many bosses that is an entire tribute to the 1930s animation of Max Fleischer, and also, like, you can also say Disney, but it's mostly Max Fleischer. But holy crap, it looks phenomenal. But on, but if I could be very honest, part of me is kind of scared to play the game. Like, I think I would rather just want to watch it than play it, because from what I've heard, Cuphead is actually pretty hard. So I don't know. But luckily, you can have two players, so maybe it can help things out. Maybe if I can find an animation buddy, or if I can find a friend that would be willing to play Cuphead with me, like maybe I could give it a shot. But we'll see. Another thing that they have announced at E3 is going to be a brand new South Park game, The Fractured But Whole. South Park has been making a pretty big splash with brand new video games coming out. Even though they are really short, they have been said to be really good RPGs. And apparently the theme of The Fractured But Whole is going to be about superheroes. So this could be like an entire parody on like the Marvel and DC cinematic universe. So we'll wait and see. But then you also got another highly anticipated game. You got Yooka-Laylee, which is said to be the true spiritual successor of Banjo-Kazooie, made by the people that made Rareware such a prominent name. So there's going to be that coming out soon. And then, finally, let's head on down to Nintendo, where to be very honest, it is a bit lackluster, and most of the games that they have announced, well, there really isn't that much. Like, the really anticipated ones, well, we've already heard of them before. Like, Pokemon Sun and Moon, for example, the only thing that they've really introduced is that they have announced new game mechanics, and they've announced three brand new Pokemon, where you got Pikpik, the woodpecker Pokemon, you got Grubbin, the larva Pokemon, and you got Young Goose, the angriest Pokemon you will ever find alive. Like, holy crap, I have never seen a Pokemon this pissed off. I even said on Twitter that this Pokemon makes Primeape look like Chansey. Holy crap. I don't know, if Young Goose has an evolved form, I don't know if I really want to see that or not. But anyways, yeah, so like, at this point, people who are thinking about getting Pokemon Sun and Moon, like, they've already made their decision about getting it, so E3 didn't do much to really build up their anticipation. Another one that does seem, but there is one, however, that does seem like could really bring in interest to animation fans, is actually Paper Mario Color Splash, where color will play a big factor in the Paper Mario world, plus the fact that the Paper Mario games have been known for some clever RPG-style gaming, and plus the fact that it has some pretty humorous storytelling attached to it. So we'll see how things go if people would like to have think about having Paper Mario Color Splash. And plus the fact that looking at the trailer, it does some pretty creative things. I highly recommend you check out the trailer for Paper Mario Color Splash. I have to admit, it's actually pretty impressive. But there is one big thing that they have announced. Now, it's not really the games that really build up the anticipation. Like, one of the biggest news that did occur is actually the Amiibos. And there are two different ones that they have announced. Now, I'm only going to announce one of them before I go into the big grand finale. And the one that I am referring to is actually the second series for the Mario lineup. Now, they have already released, like Mario characters in Amiibo form, not just for the Super Smash Bros. Lineup, but also for their own Mario lineup. You know, you got Mario, you got Luigi, Peach, Toad, Yoshi, Bowser, and all those characters. But now, we're getting a lot more with the second set, which includes 7 brand new Amiibos, a few of which have already appeared on the Super Smash Bros. Lineup, but now they're making a new version for the Mario lineup, and these include Wario, Waluigi, Rosalina, Daisy, Boo, which is said to glow in the dark, Diddy Kong, and Donkey Kong. And that one is going to be coming out November of this year. But finally, out of all the games that have been announced or that have been built up into this, there is no other game that was as anticipated. Like, pretty much the most long-awaited game that people have been hyping up for months after month after month after month. this was the most anticipated game of E3, and of course I'm talking about the brand new Zelda game. Yes, Nintendo is building up a brand new Zelda game, and they have officially announced what it is, and apparently it is called Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. However, there is a major catch to it. It is unlike any other Legend of Zelda game there is out there. Instead of being an adventure game that has a storyline, that really has this big storyline where Link has to go and save Hyrule from Ganondorf and stuff like that, in this one, it looks like it's going to be a survival game. And some have already said, like, I don't know if this is true, that apparently this is a prequel to Skyward Sword. So they have announced that there are going to be some new enemies. But basically the whole mechanic of it is Link's survival. He has to go, he's in the forest and he has to learn to survive, you know, make his own food, outwit enemies, ride horses, and all that kind of stuff. It's mostly going to be on the survival aspect. On top of that, they have also announced that there are going to be some brand new amiibos for this game. Not only like will you be able to play with some of the Legend of Zelda, like the current Legend of Zelda ones that you have, they've already shown an example that if you use the Wolf Link amiibo that you would get with Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD, that you would put it in there, like you would put it in the game, and like Wolf Link will be your companion. But apparently there are going to be some brand new amiibos that have yet to say about their function, that there is a There's one where Link is on a horse and he's wearing a hood. You also got Link shooting out a bow and arrow. And then you got another one, like this is a big one, based on a new enemy called the Guardian. And what he does what's actually really, really cool about this Guardian amiibo is that he actually has these arms that you could pretty much move. So this is pretty much the first ever amiibo where he has these movable arms and legs. So, yeah, that's definitely one that I'll be interested in. But this Legend of Zelda game is going to be released in 2017, and it could be possible it will be released at the same time as the brand new console. But anyways, that's going to be it with all the E3 coverage, and that is all that I've got for this week, so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com, just search for Matthew Grenat or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at animat505. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a favor and rate and review this episode? That would be great. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts about the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes!